1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Paul is writing this letter back to his friends at Corinth. These people became his friends through the gospel of Jesus Christ. They listened to Paul's teachings about Christ, and they saw that it was indeed the word of God, and that Jesus Christ was and is the only begotten Son of God. They formed a church, a gathering of folks of like faith, and they began the process of growing together in their faith in God. Paul is writing back to them to strengthen their faith. And in some things, they have wandered away from God. They put their guards down and allowed some of the world to creep into the church. But Paul writes to tell them to get back on track, to remember what they had been taught, and to stay true to God. In all of Paul's writings, which were inspired by God himself, were intended for our learning and for the strengthening of our faith in God. So beginning in verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 3, or beginning in verse number 9, excuse me, of 1 Corinthians 3, Paul introduces the illustration of God's people as a building. And he makes it very clear that he has written the plan for mankind, and his expectation is that all of us will learn to follow after him. We are God's husbandry, the Bible tells us. We're his field. We're his field, and he has tilled and he has planted it. He has made us right. We are his building, and he's already laid the foundation for faith. Now, Paul reports that it is only by God's grace that he has been allowed to be a part of God's master plan. His master plan of sharing the gospel. He's laid the foundation with the expectation that others will come, behind him, others will come alongside him, and they will build upon that, and they will strengthen the faith of those who already believe. But he warns, "Let every man take heed how he builds thereupon." He establishes that there is no other foundation. There is no other foundation for eternal life other than Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. He assures us that God will reveal when we see him that only that which is done for Christ, only that which leads people to the cross, which Paul describes as gold and silver and precious stones, only those things will God applaud. You know what he's saying? God is not interested in how much stuff we collect, but he's interested in how much we tell people about him.
Amen.
He says that's going to be our gold. That's going to be our silver. That's going to be our precious stones. All else, he says, he calls wood, hay, and stubble. All of that will simply be burned away. Now, we summarized this last week as building wise and being rewarded. But then there's an unwise way to build, which will also cause us to suffer regrets. And he said that's the wood, the hay, and the stubble. But we need to remember that Paul writes here to believers. And he's telling us as believers that we will not suffer the loss of our salvation when we don't work for the Lord. But we will most definitely lose our right to be rewarded, to stand before the Lord God unashamed. This week in part two of building on Christ's example, or Christ's foundation, excuse me, we will see further how Paul describes us as God's building. And we'll also see, I hope, God's expectation that his building be protected and never defiled. And two simple points I want to share with you today is, just as last week we looked at, if we build wise, we will see rewards. He says here, if we defend the temple, we'll see rewards. And if we defile the temple, we can expect some regrets, just as if we build unwisely, we would also suffer regrets. So we'll look at how Paul seeks to strengthen the faith of the people by saying, defend the temple. Defend God's building, God's foundation, God's way. Don't defile or tear it down. First of all, let's look at defending the temple for rewards. Verse 16 again, go back there. He says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? We are, in our faith in God, we are the temple of God. God's construction, so to speak. You know, later in the same letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians, he uses a similar statement, but I believe with a different meaning. Flip over, if you would, to your right a little bit in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 19. I'll show you this quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse number 19, here's what the Bible says. Paul writing to the same group of people, he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own. Now in chapter 6, if we were to read a little bit further, we'd see that Paul is speaking about how we keep the body, according to God's standard for righteousness. He's talking about those who are fornicators, that they should not do that because our bodies were special. He talks about how when we sin against our body, that it is something that we have to deal with the Lord. But here he's talking about the body as a whole being a temple for the Holy Ghost. But in our text, I believe he speaks a little differently when he calls us a temple for God. In our text, he speaks to us about us as though we are a building, as though we have been constructed by God, and with the expectation that we will not stray away from the master's plan, but that we will recognize the importance of staying true to him. Now, I want to show you something, how Paul, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he also makes the same correlation, uses the same illustration as the church, the believers, as a temple of God. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, that's on page 864 in your pew Bible. Ephesians chapter number 2, we'll begin reading in verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, the Bible says this, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember, that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And what the Bible is telling us here is that God has broken down the walls, that there is no more Jew, no more Gentile, but God has, through Christ, has broken down the wall of partition and said, all who will come, then let them come. Now, I want to show you the illustration of the building. So he says now, let's go back and let's start reading at verse 16. He says, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And look what he says in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now I want you to see what God is talking about when he says that we are a temple. We are the temple of God. What is that temple all about? Well, that temple was formed on the foundation, which is Christ. And he says, we are built upon the same foundations that the apostles and the prophets of old were built upon. In other words, guys, what he's telling us is, he says, when he spoke to Moses, he gave Moses the foundation, the only foundation, the only name whereby men might be saved was declared unto Moses by Jesus Christ himself. He says, there is no other foundation can be laid. He says, all of the apostles, you walk down through all of the prophets. Amen. And who did they speak about? They spoke about Jesus. He says, and we are built upon the same foundation. We are the temple of God. We are built upon the same foundation. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He has no beginning. He has no ending. He is that cornerstone. Amen. And then he goes on to say, giving us that illustration of the building. He said, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. He says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Man. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He says, we're the temple. So God's telling us we got to defend the foundation. We got to defend this temple so that we can be rewarded. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In other words, he has placed his word in them. And he has placed his word in us. He has placed his word in them. And he has placed his word in us. He placed his word in prophets like Isaiah. And I want to show you that. We're going to spend a little time in Isaiah today. Look in Isaiah chapter 50. Page 546 in the pew Bibles. Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to start at verse number 1. Isaiah 50, page 546. Beginning at verse number 1. Here's what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, and there was no man, when I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned. And I believe here the Bible is speaking to us about the prophet Isaiah, as well as our prophet Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as to learn it. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. I want you to understand what Isaiah is saying here. He's talking about the stance that he has taken for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, you know what? I'm going to say what God has told me to say. Do what God has said that I will do. And you know what Christ said when he came on the earth? He said, I'm going to do what God the Father said I should do. I'm going to say what he said I should say despite the responses of the people. He was going to defend this foundation on which the gospel was formed. And he says, that's the same foundation on which your faith was founded. Will you do the same? Will you defend the gospel? Will you defend the gospel? God has given you the same word, he said. What did he say to Isaiah? Say it. Speak it. Tell them. Make their sins evident to them. I like the way he said it in the beginning of this. He says, did I sell you? No. Did I turn my back on you? No. You turn your back on me. Still. Hears God's word. Amen. Still hears God's word. So in verse 6, he's speaking, I believe, dual here. He's speaking about Christ as he's speaking about Isaiah. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed.
Amen.
I tell you what, he's telling us there that if we will build on the foundation that has already been laid by God, we can stand before him and know that everything that we offer to him will be gold and silver and precious stones. He says, he is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. You know what? I can't help but think when I'm reading that, God is saying, just try and show yourself. That you, if you think you're bigger than God, and you just try to stand up before my God. He says, this is the attitude I think that as believers we ought to have today. He is near that justifies me. No matter what happens, God is always there. He's promised that he will be there. He says, who will contend with me? Who's going to fight with me when I am the Lord's child? Who will? Who's going to be able to separate me from his love? No one. Should I even be afraid of death? Absolutely not. He says, who will contend with me? He says, let us stand together. Who is my adversary? I don't care. Let him come on. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is my adversary? Who can stand against me? Who can destroy the foundation that Christ has laid for me? Who can lay another foundation? Here's the answer. No one. So he says in our text, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. We are that temple. Built up by God, for God, so that the Spirit of God might dwell in us. You guys understand that? What an awesome privilege God has given to us, that the Spirit of God might dwell in us. That's a call to purity, really. Purity of mind. Purity of body and purity of practice. I want to show you one more thing about Isaiah and then we'll move forward. Look at Isaiah 58. That's on page 550. Just a few pages to your right. Isaiah 58. God says, we are built on the same foundation as the apostles and the prophets. When he spoke to the prophet Isaiah, he said, don't you worry. No matter who your adversaries are, you stand on that which you know is true. And he says, and I'll be there, and I will be your defender. And now in Isaiah 58, let's just start reading at verse number 1. I want you to see what God wants. He wants us to be pure as a temple. He wants us to be pure in what we know to be true, and he wants us to stand fast in that. And he speaks that word to Isaiah in Isaiah 58. Starting at verse number 1, he says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sin. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. And you know what he's talking about here is that he's going to contrast for the people what it means to just pretend to be a temple of God versus being true to God's call for us to be a temple. He says these people, they delight in approaching God, But look what he says in verse number 3. He says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou taketh no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. He said, you do what you do, just so that men and people might see you, but there's nothing authentic about your faith. He says, behold, you fast for strife and debate. You fast so that people might see you, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? He says, is that really what this is all about? Now guys, I want you to understand this. As we talk about this foundation that Christ has laid for us, he's saying to us, it's not to be a shallow faith. It's not to be a faith of show. It's not to be about what happens on Sunday mornings.
Amen.
But it's about what we commit to be. And these people that Isaiah is speaking to here, they were going through the motions. They were fasting because the word of God said that they were to fast. And they were making themselves to look like they were believers, you know, and people looked on and they said, oh boy, look at her, look at him. Boy, they're really believers. But God says, I can see it in their hearts.
Amen. Not
and what I saw in their hearts, I was not pleased with. Amen. And now God is going to show us what it means to really be a temple. Now I want you to look what God is saying, really, what a temple really looks like. In verse number 6, he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loosen the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Wow. God says it's about what's going on in your heart. And when God says that we not hide ourselves from our own flesh, he says, don't think that you can get away with sinfulness.
Amen.
Don't try to call it something else and then declare that you are the temple of God. He says, no. What fast am I looking for? I'm looking for you to hold fast to the word of God. What did Christ say to them when he said he was going to separate the goats from the sheep? He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. And they said, when did I do that? Well, here he tells us the same thing. He says, this is what it's all about to be the temple of God, that you will live as I have ordained that you will live. And look what he says in verse number 8. He says, when you start really being a temple, he says, then things are going to change for you. What's going to change for me? Well, verse 8, he says, then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. He says, your whole perspective is going to change when you become a temple of God.
Amen.
He says, when you go forth, people are going to see the righteousness of God in you. Not you, but what God has done for you. And he says, and that is going to be enough for you. The glory of the Lord is going to be your reward. He says, then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as a noonday. Man, I got excited with that. God says, if you're a real temple, if you're living for him and the Spirit of God is dwelling in you, you know, God says you're going to be a light amongst in obscurity. He says, and you're going to be, your light is going to be, your darkness is going to be as a noonday. You know what he's saying? The darkest time of your life is going to be like the brightest time of the day.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit dwells in us, he says. And that's what it's going to be all about. Verse 11 says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. This is that temple This is the reward that God offers to us, the glory of the Lord. He says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not.
Amen.
And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. In other words, he says, when you get it, when you become a temple of God, when you let the Spirit of God rest in you, he says, you're going to be that one that could change a whole community, that could change a whole family, that can be a catalyst for others coming to know Christ. He says the waste places will be built up again because one carries forth the glory of the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be that temple.
Amen.
I do. I want to be that temple for the Lord. I want to be that one. I want to be that light shining.
Amen.
Wow. Man, that's good stuff.
Amen.
That is good stuff. He says, thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach.
Amen.
Wow. The restorer of paths to dwell in. Here's the pathway, walk therein, he says. He says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thy own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. I like that. He talks about the doctrine of God. He says, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to rise upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. God wants you and I to be that kind of a building. Defending what is right according to the word of God. Living what is right according to the word of God. Being that place that the Spirit of God can dwell in. And according to Isaiah 58, 8 through 10, he says he wants us to have a light that might break forth like the morning, and a righteousness that might go before us in the darkest part of our lives might be like the brightest part of the day. Wow. He wants us to defend the temple. Defend that temple. And God says, we won't be ashamed. We'll be rewarded. So, that's the defense of the temple. You know that we are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in us. We got to make ourselves available for the Spirit of God to dwell in us. But he says, we are to be a temple of God and the Spirit of God is to dwell in us. Secondly, though, he says, we got to be careful because there are those out there who are seeking to defile the temple. But he says they're going to regret it. Now let's look at your bulletin there at 1 Corinthians 3:17. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In short, defile the temple of God and there will be consequences. The Bible says God will destroy, for the temple is his. And the temple is to be holy. And that is who we are to be. This really speaks to how protective God is of his people. We are precious to him and he has promised to provide for us at all times. You know, sometimes we will get discouraged. But it is in that discouragement that we should find our rest in God. We all know that life isn't easy. But you know, it's in the difficult times of life when people take their eyes off of God. It is then that the deceivers are able to creep in and to lead them astray. Amen. But we got to know what we believe so that in the good times and in the bad times of life, that we will still hold true to the word of God, that we will not be distracted. Now, we just read about, I want to take you back to Isaiah one more time, and then I think we're going to leave him alone for a little while. But go back to Isaiah 50. Page 546. In Isaiah 50, just to remind you of what we read before, because we read verses 1 through 9, we saw Isaiah's commitment, and then we also saw the commitment of Christ, as he said that God had given him a tongue. the tongue of the learned, that he might be able to know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. And how that he was committed to hold fast to that which God had commanded him to do. But at the very end of that chapter, beginning at verse number 10, we see that Isaiah is given a word about trusting in God and not defiling or being defiled. Because sometimes we walk and we walk in discouragement. Sometimes we walk in what the Bible used the word darkness here, but I believe he really is describing a time of misery, a time of difficulty. And I want you to see what God gave to the prophet Isaiah there, beginning in verse number 10. He says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" He says, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." He says, if you find yourself in a difficult time, you find yourself at a miserable point in your life, he says, God has not changed. He said, God did not change. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, but what about those who don't want to stay on the word of God, who want to follow after their own way? Well, here we see Isaiah addresses them as well. Verse number 11, he says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks." Now, I want you to know, I want you to think about this in the context in which it's written. All ye that kindle a fire, that means you don't want to follow after God. You want to follow after your own way. You build your own fire and you don't hold true to the word of God. He says, "Behold, all you who kindle the fire and you compass yourselves about with sparks." In other words, your own little thing. You trust in yourself and your own doctrine. Those are your sparks of your fire. He says, "You walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled." He says, "This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow." God says, all right, defile the temple because we are God's building. He has designed us. He has given all of us a heart, really, I think, that says, I am the creator. Seek me out. Come to know me. He says, but if you're going to follow after your own way, you build your own fire, you create your own little sparks, you start your own little thing, he says, you're going to lie down in sorrow. No other foundation can any man lay than that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Can I say it this way? In the beginning was a word. And the word was with God. And the word is God. So, back in the beginning, God laid a foundation. And you know what he's saying then? It's what he's saying now. Don't defile. Don't defile. Don't defile it, or you will be destroyed. Now, let me show you how he said it to the children of Israel. Flip back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, that's on page 149. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. Let's start reading at verse number 1. God says, he's laid a foundation. Don't spark your own fire. Do your own thing. Don't lay your own doctrine. Don't try to start your own little faith. Because he says you'll lie down in sorrow. You defile the temple and you will regret it. In Deuteronomy 4, beginning at verse number 1, here's what the Bible says. He says, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Don't start your own fires, he said. Don't do your own thing. He says, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. He says, "Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commandeth me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thy forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. We are the temple of God, guys, a holy place where the Spirit of God dwells. Who else but God's people, Christ's followers, can make such a declaration? I like the way God said it. Even then, he says, people are going to look on when you're doing it right, and they're going to say, wow, what nation is so great? What people is so great that they have a God so close to them? A God is so good to them, a God who answers when they call. He said, don't mess it up. We must be the temple, and we must be a holy temple. We are to be a temple of the one true God, not a temple of gods which are tossed to and fro, who are believing everything and anything from anybody and everybody. We are to be a temple of the one true God. You know, one thing that I know, that there's so many small fires that have been started in our day. So many doctrines, so many false doctrines that are being scattered about the television and the radio and churches even that are popping up here and there. But God is telling us that we got to remember that we are a temple. And if we allow anything to defile this temple, he says, we're not going to be happy. And there's a lot of stuff out there, and we don't need to spend our time trying to figure all of it out.
Amen.
But what we need to do is to stay true to what we know. I put in the bulletin last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6. And I want to show you that. Look, flip over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number, page 845. Let's start reading in verse number 5, though. Because it really doesn't matter what's going on around us. What really matters is, what commitment have we made to the Lord? In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, here's what the Bible says. He says, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many, and lords many, but to us, because we are the temple of God, there is but one God, big G, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. He says, we just got to make a commitment. You know, there will be those who will be working to defile the temple, but we don't need to worry about them if we are following after Christ and with no doubts. God will deal with them. He will destroy. That's what inspired Paul to write. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, then him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. How will he destroy? Well, he gave us the answer to that. How will God destroy them? Look at Matthew chapter 13. I'm almost done. Matthew 13, page 714 in your pew Bibles. Matthew 13. Two passages. One is a parable. The other is an explanation. But starting in verse number 24 of Matthew 13. This is Christ speaking. He said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field.
Amen.
But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, there appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Will thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Now, so that we might understand it, because the disciples didn't quite get it, skip down to verse number 36, and we will see how God explains it. In verse number 36, it says, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. In my Bible, the Son is capitalized, showing us that this is representing how God is going to deal with those who defile the foundation that was laid by Him. He says, The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. And therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. So shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that which do iniquity, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let all who will defile the temple, who will seek to defile the temple, who will lay a foundation that is different from that which Christ has already laid, beware and be afraid. God is going to destroy them. You know what that says to me as a temple? Because I'm living to be the temple. I don't need to be afraid of what they're doing. Vengeance is mine, saith who? The Lord. Not me. I don't have to worry about that. You know what I need to worry about? Being a light that shines in obscurity. Amen. Having a darkness that's like the noonday sun. That's all I got to worry about. So that I might be able to stand before my God unashamed. Unashamed. Man. Let's look at our boy David, and then we'll close there in Psalm 12. Psalm 12 is a psalm of inspiration. Psalm 12, page 433, excuse me, is a psalm of inspiration. You know, it made me think about the importance of personal accountability. That God says to me, I don't need to look on to what other folks are doing. I just need to look into my heart and look into what God has called upon me to do. David wrote this, I believe, at a difficult time in his life. Look how God elected to have David inspire us. He says, Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who have said, With our tongue will we prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? God's going to deal with this. He says, For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. The words of the Lord are pure words. And I want you to see where God says, here's all the stuff that's going on around him. Here's how people are speaking evil, speaking things. They're being all puffed up. But he says, what ought we to focus on? The words of the Lord. Amen. They're pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. He said, you can depend upon that stuff. Every time they put it in the fire, it comes out the same. Put it in again, it comes out the same. He says, those words you can depend upon. Be a temple. He said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them. He's talking about people, believers. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. But he says, yeah, now, the wicked, they're out there. The wicked walk on every side. When the vilest man are exalted. But that's not my problem. Why? Because I'm focusing on the Lord. I'm focusing on being a temple. I don't have to worry about what they're doing. I just need to do what God has called upon me to do, which is to stand on the purity of the words of God. God says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you, dwells in all of us. So he says, live accordingly. Be that temple. Build on that foundation so that the righteousness of God might go forth before you. And that all the glory that we are able to produce will bring glory to the name of our God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, for your word, I'm thankful. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have chosen to occupy this temple. I'm thankful, Lord, that you've given us an opportunity to be a light that might shine in dark places. I'm thankful, Lord, that you have chosen to let us be a people that onlookers will comment and say, oh, these people truly must know God. They truly must be living for God. Truly, they are in touch with the one true God. So that when they call, he answers. So that when they pray, they hear his voice in their spirit. Father, I pray you'd help us to be true to our faith, true to your word, to build upon the foundation so that we might get stronger in our walk every single day. So that we might be able to carry forth the word of God, and that we might be able to see the lives of people changed. Lord, I want to one day be called a repairer of the breach. I want to be called one day that one which has built up the old waste places again. But not for my glory, Lord, but for yours, so that your kingdom might be strengthened, so that your name might be lifted up, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.